Boom. It is episode 445 of the Beer Field Podcast. I am your host, Chris Hopper, at Beer Field Hop on X.
You wrote down 444.
444. It isn't the 444th episode.
444.
444. Did I say something? Did I say 443?
445.
Oh.
I was like, oh, we're one more.
I'm fast forwarding. No, I was doing the math, actually. We've got over 500 if you count the Sunday live streams, but we don't. So here we are, episode 444.
Oh, we're good. We're done. Perfect. Let's see you guys later.
We're done. Bye. It's been fun.
It's been real. It's all you, Ryan.
It says episode 444. We took a break last week to kind of break up our off-season dynasty chatter and redrafts. So we'll spend the next month on redraft before the regular season kicks off. So we're going to start that by getting y'all set up for training camp. So we were going to do division by division, but as I went through news and stuff for the last couple weeks, there is a ton that has hit about guys that were out with injuries, guys that are out with injuries, how guys are being used in training camp as it's already started. So we're going to do that as a primer instead. And then we'll take the what we're going to do for the NFC next week and turn it into a initial ADP check. So we'll kind of go through, you know, where guys are going and how we set up rankings when we do redrafts and, you know, kind of just break that down. Guys who think are going high or low or whatever. We'll just kind of take a first look at ADP together as we get this redraft season underway. I introduced myself. I didn't introduce anybody else. I'm at Hop134 on Threads, by the way, with two P's.
Is Threads still around?
Yes. And it hasn't changed its name or done anything stupid recently. At Beerfuel Theory, at Ryan Miner underscore FFB, my esteemed co-host, Dan. Ryan, how are you two this evening?
Great. You'll never find me on Threads, but you always see me on Twitter and Facebook.
I'd spent 8 hours handing beer to people today at a golf outing. So you can say I have a very difficult job that people should not be jealous of.
It was actually kind of nice today too.
Yeah, it was not. I mean, especially coming off of a 2 day weekend of music festivals.
And oh yeah,
95 plus
blazing
degrees
hot until did it storm up there because it dropped 20 degrees after it stormed down here.
They got overnight heavy wind and some rain, but everything missed during the festival time. Oh, but I go on vacation. I go to Colorado on Thursday, so
that's why we're going on Monday.
Vacation.
All right. Vacation. Let's go ahead and get into beer previews.
What's fueling beer fueled?
So what everyone wants to hear anyway. Ladies and gentlemen, it is the season. It's
Oktoberfest season.
Oktoberfest season. So we are kicking it off with it's fall beer season, which is the best beer season, by the way. Just in case anyone's wondering, fall beer
That's
season
Schlafly's.
Is my favorite beer season. This is Schlafly's Oktoberfest, and I have it on good authority that this is a new recipe this year. So they have changed this up. They are apparently, again, I will not reveal my sources, but they're better than the ones that talk about Jonathan Taylor. Apparently, they have changed up the Munich malt that they're using and in general made it less hoppy. So, this is not a first look. I had one before dinner and I will save my thoughts until about midway through the episode, but Schlafly's Oktoberfest with a slightly modified recipe using a different Munich malt, which will, help your toasted caramel kind of melanoid in character, the richness of it overall. And then apparently less hoppy. So there you go. Dan.
Right. Me?
Or Ryan. I don't care. One of you.
All right, I'm fighting a fly right now.
You know, that's tough some days. I was just in Columbia, Missouri this past week. So naturally, you got to get something around that area. I decided to get Mother's Brewing Company. So they're out of Springfield, Missouri, which isn't necessarily super close to them, but
they distribute across the whole state. So
it was something I wanted to grab while I'm out there. This is their Lake Break. This is their easy drinking ale. So, you know, think of all the IPA from Founders, from more of your broader spectrum of that style. I had a few of these when I was out there. I got a couple left that I brought back. Mixed thoughts on it, but we'll get to that later.
What was
and
it again?
I had.
I'm sorry, I missed that. What was it again?
Lake Break.
What style?
It's easy drinking ale, is what they call it.
It's like a golden ale, I guess. Okay. Sorry, Ryan, go ahead.
I can see that. Yeah, I can see it being a golden ale.
And I have Happy Dad Hard Seltzer Fruit Punch flavor. I don't know if you guys heard of Happy Dad. It's a West Coast California YouTubers that came out with that. And one of my friends is a distributor for Michigan, so I got it for him.
Nice.
Okay. All right. It is a golden ale.
Nailed it.
Yeah.
All right. We're just going to go ahead and kick this thing off. Joe Burrow sustained a calf injury in training camp. I've seen mixed reports that he will or won't be ready for week one. So first thing to monitor is that Joe Burrow is missing time. With veterans, especially quarterbacks that have been in the same system for a while, you're not really concerned about his ability to run the offense. They haven't, you know, personnel hasn't changed really at all for him, so you're not too worried about chemistry, but it is just something you want to monitor. Anything to add to that, guys?
I think he'll start week one. I mean, it didn't look significant. I mean, he just did it while running a play, so, but we won't see him at all during this preseason.
No. Zach Taylor did say that there's a chance he could. This could leak into the season, but we're 6 weeks away from that, and I promise you, within that 6 weeks, we're going to have much more information. So,
yeah.
As of right now, if there's a way to create a dip in his dynasty value, it's this, I guess. But there's no need to freak out. You're still drafting Ja'Marr Chase. Where you draft Ja'Marr Chase, you're still drafting Tiggins. When you're drafting Tiggins,
exactly. That's really the biggest news. Is just don't freak out about this if you're drafting over the next couple weeks and Burrow's not playing, or people are, what about the calf injury or whatever, especially in home leagues, take the discount first off, but second off, don't be worried about it. Just business as normal. Just draft them where you normally would.
Yep.
All right. Saquon Barkley, 1 year deal worth $11 million. So much ado about here's another $1 million. Shut up.
Yeah. Plus $2 million incentive. So it's like $13 million overall. But yeah,
depending on what those incentives are. Yeah, we'll get into that next, actually. This will merit a little bit more conversation, so it's probably a good thing to break this up. This Jonathan Taylor saga with the Colts in general. So he's on the PUP with still the ankle injury from last year. He met with Colts owner Jim Irsay, who basically said, we're not going to extend you. It doesn't matter. You or I could die tomorrow and nobody's going to remember we are here. We were here. This is what it is. We're not going to extend you. Jonathan Taylor asked for a trade. The Colts responded by saying, well, we have the story here that you complained of back pain when you came into camp. So we're going to put you on the NFI. We're going to consider putting you on the NFI list so that we can withhold salary. And to me, this is first off, Irsay needs to shut up and let Chris Ballard do the talking.
Absolutely.
And he's needed to shut up for a while, because you are, one, headed on to a one-on-one fight with the NFLPA if you're trying to throw a guy on the NFI list to withhold salary that wasn't really hurt. you're completely deep. Like, you're not just devaluing that. You are shitting on a player, and this is a brotherhood, man. And this is going to hurt the Colts through their rebuild in trying to attract and sign free agents, or even trying to extend their own players, seeing how Jonathan Taylor is being treated. This is beyond just the whole running back saga at this point, in my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah. It's insane. I still don't think anything's going to matter from this. I still think he won't get traded. The whole injury part is something we'll have to see how that plays through over the next 6 weeks, but I don't expect the Colts to move him. I don't expect the Colts to move him in season. Now after this year, he's a free agent, so I don't expect him to be back in Indy. Then we can have that conversation then. But
no, not a chance.
It's
But if he sits out though, doesn't he have to? He loses a year of eligibility, right?
Yes, he has. Like, there's no way he sits out. There's no. And he'll if they play. Put him on this NFI list, then he doesn't accrue. Him. Yeah,
yeah.
No, he still won't accrue a year. He still has to come back and play. He won't accrue a year.
Yeah, that'll be a fight if they stick him on the NFI list. And
I don't think that happens. I think that was always an empty threat. Yeah,
the NFLPA will have a fucking heyday with that.
That was an empty threat, and that's just Jim Irsay being a fucking moron. And you're absolutely right. We'll see what the repercussions of this comes. And the sad part is, like, you know, this is the owner. Like, this is the guy that makes overall like the ultimate decision. So it's not like. This isn't, you know, Chris Ballard or your head coach who you can just remove from the situation. This is going to have potential repercussions. I already thought they weren't going to re-sign Michael Pittman. I definitely don't think they will now. I can definitely see Pittman, who will also be a free agent, him potentially being moved. And again, this is a team that probably thinks they can compete this year, at least for the AFC South division title. They're going to probably figure out very quickly that they won't. And then that'd be the only time I see Taylor being moved. I also don't see teams paying up to trade for him with 1 year left and then having to likely pay him on top of it. Cause the cost is easily a day two pick, even coming off of an injury riddled season last year. He's 24 years old. He's one of the league's best peer runners. And while he's got a shit ton of wear and tear on his tires, you know, people, teams will still pay for the things you've done for us, not what you think they'll do for them in the future.
Yeah. I mean, look how well sitting out is working out for J.K. Dobbins, right? J.K. Dobbins right now. Excuse me.
Josh Jacobs.
Yeah.
Look what it did for Le'Veon Bell, Melvin Gordon to an extent. Like, fuck.
Like, it's never worked. I don't know a situation where it's worked out well.
And it's not like JT, you know, came into the NFL, you know, with some, he had over 900 carries in college. And he's been a bell cow for over a year and a half. Like,
right.
In the NFL, like, he's unfortunately, like, I can see teams just not wanting to pay him in general because of the amount of, you know, wear that he's had on him. Like, you know, the amount of uses she's had. And the amount of just unnecessary hits he's taken.
Well, no, and then like he's trying to use his leverage, but it's like, well, look at Ezekiel Elliott, look at Leonard Fournette, look at Kareem Hunt, look at all these other free agent running backs who are still out there.
That's going to cost him a lot less.
Yeah, and that's also a good point, because guess what? Zach Moss has a broken forearm, and suddenly you're down to rookie Evan Hole and
Deion Jackson.
Yes.
Yeah. The 1 week wonder.
Yeah. So
hello, Dalvin Cook.
Case in point, right? They have a reason to bring somebody in. They might just be looking for another crack at something. The rebuilding team, I don't see like Elliott or Fournette or Hunt necessarily wanting to go there, but you know.
Yeah. Yep.
All right. Anything else on that? That's a clusterfuck, is what that is.
Yeah.
I don't think much of it will happen, but
even if they try to strike a deal, I mean, like, I've seen people try to say, you know, like they should do this type of deal, that type of deal. It's like the teams aren't
going to trade for them.
Yeah. There's like, and Colts aren't going to sign them to an extension right now. It's like, no, go ahead and sit out.
Who, like, the teams that people throw, well, what about the Vikings and the Bills and the Chiefs? First, they're not made of money. And you have to have a contingency plan plus what you're giving up to get them. Right. He's not going to be some late day three pick.
Look at Christian McCaffrey. Like, how much was traded to
at
get
least him? McCaffrey, you know, it's like a glorified wide receiver that just takes a lot more, you know, carries than he should. But yeah, but you're right, though. He doesn't like he's if you're not of the mold of McCaffrey at this point, it's sad to say, but I mean, this was always the risk if you held on to Taylor and Dynasty for this line. I mean, this is a point that you're looking at, right? As we always talked about Hopper, and I mentioned this a bunch, is 1 year left on his rookie deal. If you are not competing, you better hope that there's a fucking sell window that's a lot better than this, because it's just going to keep getting muddier and muddier and muddier as this blows a lot into the season, especially if they can't move him.
Yeah.
That's it.
All right. Tim Patrick was carted off with a full Achilles tear. He's going to miss the season, and KJ Hamler is away dealing with a heart condition. This opens things up for Marvin Mims. So pay. He's also hurt right now. So.
It's also hurt. I feel so fucking
bad for Tim Patrick.
For Tim. Mike, right? Like, he battles back from his ACL tear and then tears his Achilles.
Yeah,
he's gonna be a free agent. Like he's probably, I won't say done, but
yeah, that's gonna be hard. To come back from that anyway. It's gonna be really hard to come back from after 2 years off. And I mean, really, suddenly the Broncos are very, very thin at that position. So, you know,
and they had some of the best depth there too, and then.
Well, I still got Lodron Humphrey, apparently, but
they do. Oh, here we go. The slowest slot receiver in football.
Right.
Might as well be a tight end.
Now, Mims, I don't think is serious, but with Patrick Dunn, and who knows when KJ Hamler will be able to return, this is going to pump Jerry Jeudy up.
Yes.
Probably Sutton, too.
Sutton's going to be boosted up for sure.
Yeah.
And the overall excitement, too, with the Sean Payton drama. You guys see that?
No.
Sean Payton calling out Nathaniel Hackett to a point where Aaron Rodgers has to then call out Sean Payton for attacking his former OC.
I saw something about Rodgers responding. I didn't hear what Payton said or see it or anything like that.
He basically just called I think he just called them doc. He just called it the worst coaching job of all time or something like that. is he wrong?
No.
Like, especially if you had one of the greatest defenses of all time last year that doesn't get talked about because the offense was so fucking bad that they couldn't win games. Like, it's insane. It's like, I held your team to 15 points. Oh, sorry, guys. We only scored 10, like, right. 100 times last year. Oh, my God.
But the defense kept winning games, like you said.
Oh, so frustrating.
It was bad, bad.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Justin Herbert, 5 years, $262.5 million for his services. So 5 year deals is kind of the running rate on 5 year big money deals, kind of the running rate on quarterbacks right now, huh?
Yeah.
I'm also wondering just with Burrow also getting as banged up as he's been since he's been in the NFL, if he's not gonna I don't think he's gonna reach six. I don't think I wouldn't be surprised if the Bengals also put him at five.
I wouldn't either. And you thinking like what, 5 and 275?
Yeah, it's the consistent year to year. Like he just gets banged up, and thankfully he doesn't really miss much time outside of the ACL tear. But it's I don't know. Now,
but he's also more of a pocket passer. He's not one of these rushing quarterbacks either.
That makes. You do realize that the majority of these injuries are coming from the pocket. Like, he got hit. That's how he tore his ACL. Like, it wasn't like he wasn't sliding or running outside containment. He did what pocket quarterbacks do. He was just trying to evade a rush, and he got hit hard, and that's it. So it's more of a freak accident. This could happen to anybody. But I'm wondering, just given that, if he's not going to get a Josh Allen type of extension, who got, I think it was 6 or 7 years on top of his deal. And Mahomes went up to 10 in total with his too. So, but I think he's having to get paid more than Herbert. And I think he's going to be more than like the $1 or $2 million that we've seen with the escalation between Hurts, Jackson, and now Herbert. I think Burrow will be, as you mentioned, Hopper, in that 270-ish range, potentially even 280. Just the success that the team has had in that short time frame with him.
Yeah.
And he's fucking, he's as beloved as any of the top quarterbacks in his city. Like, yeah, he is the fucking Bengals.
But I think that Herbert sets that, right? He's going to get more than, yeah, he's going to get more than Herbert did. Either in years or money or both, he's going to get more than Herbert did. So,
yeah, I don't think he'll go less than five. He'll want to have that type of job security. But I was for sure thinking six or seven, but I don't know anymore.
Plus, if you're doing any drafts right now, buy the dip.
Buy all the Herbert, man.
I drafted him as QB 6 today.
Going to be one of the best offenses in football, I think so.
Can't pass that up.
I think it's going to be much improved.
And as we see Kellen Moore become the head coach next year.
Yes. All right. Sorry, I keep having to go back and find my place because I'm still adding to this. And the biggest waste of a performance-enhancing drug ever, Ronald Jones has been suspended for 2 games for PED usage. And I feel worse for the PEDs.
Oh, man.
They didn't deserve that. What a waste.
They don't deserve this type of bad news.
I mean, you stated it wrong. It's 2-time Super Bowl champion Ronald Jones.
Ronald Jones gives PEDs.
See with Dallas, right? Yeah. He's in Dallas right now. Oh, here comes Zeke.
I'll
line it up for Zeke to come back.
Ronald Jones gives PEDs a bad name.
It's like, oh, man, is Ronald Jones got busted? Oh, man, we got to step up our game.
Right? Man, we don't want to be associated with that guy. Seahawks, Kenneth Walker and Zach Charbonnet are both down with injuries. It's a groin for Walker, a shoulder for Charbonnet. No details or timelines available on their return. Listening to Pete Carroll, sounded like Walker's could be long-term, but maybe more precautionary. So read into that what you will. That's kind of playing both sides of the same coin. Whereas for Charbonnet, it was just, we don't have a timetable.
I'm avoiding all costs.
Seahawks backs already banged up.
I don't lingering groin injury with a back that's already proven. There's lingering injury issues dating back to last year.
Yep.
I love Walker. Again, great pure runner, best one of the best in the league already, but it's very telling. He may not get bell cow work because he can't stay healthy, or just because the team's like, we need to try to keep you healthy. You're going to be part of a backfield, you know, a part of a committee.
Kenny McIntosh season coming on.
Right.
DJ Dallas again.
Here comes Dalvin Cook.
We'll get to Dalvin Cook in a minute. That's a whole different thing I just realized. Sonny Michel retired from the NFL. The Rams have signed Royce Freeman to replace his roster spot. So for 5 years, Sonny Michel is out of the league. Remember when people thought he was better than Nick Chubb?
Yeah, that's why
all went because to remember? All because New England's fucking stupid. Those of you that paid attention to the right things always knew Chubb over Michel.
Always should have been Chubb over Michel. But anyway, definitely injuries played a role in his career downfall. Best of luck to him, et cetera, et cetera. Royce Freeman, life is on a team where he'll undoubtedly probably have another shot for whatever that's worth.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Last note I had to put in there. I'll be attentive now. That's what we're waiting on, right? Dallas tight end Luke Schoonmaker is dealing with a plantar injury. So plantar fasciitis, torn one, no idea. Just said plantar injury. He's had that since OTAs. He's still sidelined without a timetable for return. So Dallas's tight end spot, to me, has been one of the most intriguing areas for somebody to emerge with Schultz moving on and that position having a history of productivity. To me, it was between Schoonmaker and Hendershot, and if Schoonmaker's missing camp reps, is a rookie tight end, I think that that's going to tilt things in favor of Hendershot in your late round tight end derby.
Seeing Jake Ferguson ahead of him in, on depth charts too.
Yeah, but Jake Ferguson doesn't catch passes though.
Well, none of them catch passes right now. We'll see who decides to be the pass catcher. Not a bad spot, as you mentioned. Not a bad idea to take a shot at one of these guys late in your draft, especially with heavy, you know, deep bench and maybe some tight end premium to it. Might not be a bad idea.
Right. Let me look at Ferguson, actually, because there was a point where it was Ferguson and Hendershot last year. Hendershot's the much more athletic one, I think.
Absolutely. His profile, Jake Ferguson's profile is not, does not hold a lot of confidence from the athletic standpoint.
Yeah, you know, Henderson's doesn't either, other than that whole agility score thing. It's like, they're actually not that different.
Oh, they're not. I mean, yeah. I mean, 59th percentile for Ferguson agility score, but.
Yeah, 90th for Hendershot.
I see. I'd take that. That matters. That's a short area guy that can kind of work. Yeah. Third downs that's, and in the red zone.
That's why I've leaned him and ignored Ferguson is because
yeah, that's
the
fair.
Last time this happened, Hendershot was pulling in more balls. Brock Purdy,
which probably means none of them.
Yeah, well, in deep, whatever. In deep leagues, maybe, unless, I don't know. Brock Purdy cleared to return to practice. He does have mandatory off days right now. He's coming back from a UCL issue. So... we'll at least get the camp battle everybody wants, right?
Right.
Sure.
Resounding. Odell Beckham is practicing with no real limitations to start training camp, so he is all the way back. Bateman, on the other hand, is on the pup.
Sounds like Flowers has been the most, I've seen reports of him being the most standout of the receivers. So,
yes.
We'll see what that continues.
Yeah, the Ravens receivers are going to be intriguing throughout the whole draft process because I think everybody expects them to throw more and believes in the arm talent of Lamar. Whether he can rise to that occasion and the receivers can rise up to do that is going to be, you know, the thing that everyone's got to watch, but there's kind of, you know, this brewing like situation there, not really a situation, but there's like this brewing, they're in situations to succeed is what I'm trying to say. The environment that they're in for pass productivity is good. So whether they can capitalize on that remains to be seen, but it's definitely one of the biggest things I think we're going to watch throughout training camp and into redraft season is where the ADPs are, where Bateman's health is, where the ADPs are on Beckham and Flowers and, you know, how things are going, basically.
I'll pull up ADP. That time, it's going to be a lot of mock drafting.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, their ADP is late, but they're, like, within, like, I think 10 wide receivers of each other. Like, high wide receiver, like, 40s range to, like, I think as high as 52 is what I've been seeing.
The last 10 days, FFCalc has had just under 10,000 mock drafts in full PPR leagues, 12-team. Large amount. Start getting a great idea to start building ADP narratives and just kind of seeing, again, we've preached this on this show a bunch. We don't hate players, we hate ADPs, and this is kind of the first step in season with trends. And, you know, obviously camp hype, and then once preseason hits on Thursday with the Hall of Fame game, we'll start to get an idea of what these trends are going to look like.
Did you find that current ADP?
Oh, sorry. No, I was looking. I just pulled it up.
I know Ryan said where they were at in wide receivers, but I'm curious where they're at overall.
Let me
pull them up right now.
Now, are you both on FFCalc or are you using Fantrax?
I'm on Fantasy Pros.
Gotcha. Which, in theory, they should be sourcing from damn near this. Well, FFCalc will do it. We'll pull off of its own. Fantasy Pros off of everywhere.
All right, who are we looking at again? I completely blanked.
Ravens.
Ravens. Bateman, 807.
Feels high.
Feels like the first one I've seen. Granted, this is past 10 days. you know, 10,000 drafts is a good mark. I don't think he's the first though.
All right, so on Fantasy Pros, they have Beckham at 48, going to 116 overall. Zay Flowers at 50, going at 124 overall. And then Rashad Bateman at 51, going at 122 overall.
FF Calc does not have both of Flowers or Beckham being drafted. It seems odd.
That's odd.
The fact that Bateman's an eighth round pick and the rest of the wide receivers on that team are even showing up on the draft boards.
That's really oddball.
Yeah.
There's Flowers. FF Calco is kind of like going downhill the last couple of years.
I get it.
Flowers is a 12th round.
I got to teach Dan how to use Control F. I got him.
I know how to use Control F, but they have their teams different. Like they still have Flowers as an FA.
Really?
Yeah. So I was, you know, just going based off a team real quick, just kind of get an idea. But apparently they had it placed differently.
That's oddball.
Yeah, it's just stupid. I know. No, I'd use Control F.
Wasn't sure.
And Beckham is not on here.
No, he's not. Interesting.
Well,
interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, something to keep an eye on for next week to see if where that
real
goes.
Trends. Yeah, real trends.
Matt Stafford is throwing a full workload in training camp. So they have to play him, right? Better or worse.
Yeah. He's only a couple years removed, though, from being he was a top five quarterback, fantasy quarterback. Last year he was injured. I mean, this year, I mean, it'd be a nice bounce back, and you can land him as your QB2 right now.
The thing that scares people is that it's nerve related.
Yeah, that doesn't scare me. You can wear enough padding around you.
I mean, if it's nerve related, though, you don't have to get hit for that to flare up. Like padding isn't the only thing. Like padding isn't going to save you from nerve issues if something's pinching during your throwing motion, or if you just have numbness that hurts your grip, or whatever the case may be. Like padding doesn't save you on nerve related shit. That's what scares me about it.
I have the doctors clear them though. I'm not too worried about it.
And without surgery or anything either, I mean, it just depends on what it is, but if something was pinching or rubbing or whatever, then that can flare back up really at any time, even if he is cleared.
Yeah.
So. QB21 on Fantasy Pros.
That's a value. I think the other problem is that they're really thin at wide receiver. So
I'm going to say it's.
And he's probably going to get murdered behind that O line, too.
I think it's QB. You know, two QB sleeper flex, these are QB4. Probably what you want at best if you're going a little heavier QB.
Yeah, I'd be fine with him as a QB3. If he's going at 21, you're not going to get him at
that's
a 4. True. But I would take him as QB, true, as a QB3 with upside because he can definitely play higher than that. There's no debating that. But,
yeah.
Javonte Williams is cleared for contact. But probably not going to play at all in the preseason. But he's cleared.
He seems ahead of schedule.
He does, and that feels good.
All right, here. Right now, Javonte Williams is he's at the turn. It's the 4-5 turn. That is right. Jesus Christ. Running back 23. So you're right in the dead zone.
Yeah.
I
think you're fine with him in the dead zone. It's just you're still
depends
nervous.
Depends on building your roster, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't see a true upside in this unless he just completely smashes expectations. I still think he's a second half play.
What running back off the board is he?
23.
Yeah, I mean, that's the second half play, and the risk with ACL tears and people coming back from them is, particularly with running backs, is that you often see a hamstring issue crop up.
Right. It's generally on the opposite leg, some sort of hamstring, strain, high ankle.
Right.
Type of thing that it's going to keep him off and lingering for.
And he also isn't going to catch passes because, I mean, they didn't sign Samaje Perine to not have a role. And that was never his shtick to begin with. So,
and it's not like he's ever been a bell cow in his career, dating back to college, too. He's always been a committee.
So you're hoping for efficient runner in a committee type stuff, which can still get you an RB2. Okay. But
absolutely. And it's still Denver. This is, should be looking at an approved offense.
Yeah.
You know, a bunch of potential shootout situations. Their defense is still very good, which means if they get ahead, they can be in positive game script modes, which is going to bode well for him. It's just, is he healthy? And then, you know, can he maintain that? So second half of the season type play, but at that point, you know, his cost is going to be astronomical.
Yep. I mean, I'm okay taking him if he's in the dead zone, though. I mean, if you need a running back in that position, I mean, this is the game we play with who's he going around, right? Does he have more upside than anybody there?
So running backs around him, I'll pull up the rest of the board. So who we sandwich in between, in the fourth round, you have Montgomery, Madison, Swift, Pierce, James Conner. In the fifth round, because he's on a turn, Dobbins, Akers, Gibbs, Sanders, Kamara. That's just the backs going within that 4-6 range.
Feels about right, honestly.
Obviously, wide receivers are going to, you know, with them being a deeper position.
Personally, you can read them. I don't care because I'm looking at it from a position structure standpoint of that.
Yeah.
At that point, I'm sure wide receivers in that area are going to be better. You don't want to be taking running backs in the dud zone. But I feel like Williams and Montgomery, you can probably draw a lot of parallels between.
Brian, what are your thoughts?
I'd rather take Williams way after all those players. I mean, I still don't feel it. I'm not that high on him.
You've always been where I've been with it. You've been a little more cautious like we have been. So
yeah, just more. Wasn't Dobbins cleared too this time last year?
Maybe 2 years ago. And I thought he got cleared.
I think he got cleared before training camp. And then
I thought it was all positive news until it became like
it was all positive news. And then he went on the pump, right?
Him. Yeah, but it was generally him. It was kind of the same from the coaching staff saying they weren't sure. And Dobbins was the ones that was guaranteed that he'll be ready by week one. And
I think that's what it was. I don't think he was actually cleared. I think he was putting out there a lot of making you think he would be. And then the coaching staff was pulling the reins back. And then he got reintegrated slow. And I think there was a hamstring injury there with him.
He definitely, and then he got hurt again last year, you know, full year removed. He was still struggling with this. And, you know, these players are going to be different. You know, maybe it will be different for Javonta. And RB23 sounds a lot nicer than a player on the 4 or 5 turn when it comes to roster construction. It's just, you know, heavy RB. Yeah. I'm not in love with it. I'm not.
No, I can't get behind it.
I think there I can. The problem I'm going to have is that in a week, I guarantee you, once more people mock and some of those days where he wasn't cleared falls off, that he's going to go up in ADP and I'm going to be out.
He's only right. And if he, like, I doubt he plays any, I highly doubt he plays any presets and maybe the third game to get some run, just to get some contact hits. But he's not going to be a full goal week one, dude, right?
No,
they will slowly bring him on and he may never reach a full workload in terms of, you know, multiple games in a row where he's getting 20 plus touches either.
And you look at the guys around him, right? Montgomery is solid, but they're, you know, both healthy, both will go. Their roles figure to be pretty similar.
Yeah.
Akers has injury history. Dobbins has injury history and is on the pup for what I believe is non-injury stuff. We'll get to that in a minute, but you know, James Conner is another guy with injury history that, you know, definitely has the ability to outperform there. And honestly, I would rather have maybe Conner at that position just because of knowing what you're getting into, whereas Williams is kind of a black box of that. But I think that I can justify him being in the tiers and now that in a couple of weeks when that ADP skyrockets, or doesn't even skyrocket, just bumps up a couple rounds, I'm going to be out.
Yeah, as soon as he gets the into that, you know, full on third round, which he absolutely could if reports continue to be positive. Mm-hmm. And you're gonna get all the truthers that are gonna go out there and just pound the table for him. There's enough of them that likely caused that shift.
Yeah. Anything else on Williams, Ryan, or Dan?
No.
No.
All right. Aaron Rodgers effectively signed a 2-year deal with the Jets worth $75 million. It's actually a 5-year deal, but there's void years on there for salary cap purposes. So, yeah, he'll be there for 2 years. Yay. John Ross.
That's how I feel.
Yeah.
So they hope.
Right. Until he's traded to the Vikings.
Until he doesn't make the playoff. Yeah, he goes to Minnesota to replace Cousins. Oh, God, the worst timeline.
John Ross is retired from the NFL after 6 seasons.
What a great top 10 pick.
The first high round draft pick I hated.
Even more so than Mike Williams from the same draft?
Yeah, no, I didn't hate the Mike Williams pick. I actually liked Mike Williams coming out. It wasn't until the injury shit started to stack up that I didn't like Mike Williams. I liked Williams as a prospect. It's the injury stuff that just has me off and the disappearing acts. But I liked Williams way more, especially in that draft class, than I liked John Ross. John Ross was just fast.
He was always,
for whatever reason.
He was a short speedster.
He ran sub-4.3. That was his downfall.
And he never used it for anything.
Because you can't quantify using that speed in everyday game life.
Yep. Bryce Young, Panthers starting quarterback, officially. Only a matter of time there.
Zach Ertz, to be shocked.
Yeah, Zach Ertz opening camp on the PUP list with his ACL injury. Just something to monitor. Bears signed Cole Kmet to a 4-year deal worth $50 million. Cole Kmet started to have a breakout season last year. So,
that's got to be because they need to get to the salary cap floor, right?
No.
You think?
No. Tight ends just get paid, man.
I just he's done. He's made. I feel like he's done literally fucking nothing.
He did 2 years ago. He didn't catch one touchdown.
Started to come on last year, and it's really a 2-year deal. They can cut him after 2025 for like $4 million in dead cap.
Well, I feel like it's almost all those deals are front loaded that way. You can restructure when you need to. People have mentioned the Bears needed to hit some sort of, because there's a cap minimum. Like, you have to spend a certain amount of money if you don't, you get fined.
He's basically
potential loss of draft picks.
Here's the tight end. Yes, you do, but they're at the cap floor.
Okay.
Because they went out and spent a shitload in free agency. They're not under the floor.
Okay.
The guys that he's around contract wise are Njoku, Conklin. Tyler Conklin makes that much money.
What? Jets, man. They paid him.
Don't see about Tyler Conklin either.
Never mind. So for some reason he's on this list, but he likes literally has half as much money. Dallas Goedert, Hunter Henry, David Njoku is who he's close to. And actually on SpotTrack, they do statistical comparisons. Cole Kmet is at more receptions a game in his career than Njoku. He's never missed a game. While the receiving yards haven't necessarily been there, his yak is right in the middle of the pack there. Really low drop percentage. He came on strong at the end of last year, and he's a solid blocker. Like, he's a part of the reason why that run game has been so good. So that's the part that you can't really quantify in.
He had 7 touchdowns. I mean, you know, he came out strong with the touchdowns. He had 0 touchdowns last year.
I always get the years confused too.
Yeah.
He matters a lot to.
He had 69 targets.
Yeah.
That's it. That's all you need to know. 69 targets. Nice.
Yeah. He matters a lot to that running game.
And he's always on the 94.5% snap share. Pretty much never got off the field.
Also, the salary cap floor.
A true catch rate of 100%.
Must spend 89% over a 4-year time span to get the cap floor. It's not even a year per year.
Okay. That's right. It's over four. I think it's through a 4-year period.
Yeah, 89% over 4 years, however that works out. And this is their first year not being.
Okay. Then they're yeah, that's right. I learned this listening to the Decision Point podcast. They talked about salary cap 4 and all that jazz stuff. So that's I've seen people make jokes that the Bears could try to go after Jonathan Taylor just so they continue to try to hit that floor. Just give them a bunch of money because they're going to have a bunch of money.
Yeah. 3 years ago, they were 22nd in available cap space in the league. So they're fine.
They're fine.
This is fine.
It's not like the NHL where it's year to year and you trade for injured players to pay their salary and stash them on long-term IR to get to the cap floor.
It's all backed balls too. Yeah. There's just dead contracts and just basically
whatever.
Trying to get as much money off the books as you possibly can the following year so you can spend in free agency.
If you're tanking, that's how you do it. John Mechie cleared from his hamstring injury to return to camp. He hurt that in OTAs. So, one of my favorite sleepers this year, breakout candidates that keeping an eye on. Wandale Robinson on the PUP after a late season torn ACL. So if you're watching for who's going to break camp as the Giants' top receiver, that again is another training camp thing to pay attention to between Hodgins and Hyatt. Maybe Shepard. Wandale Robinson not being there helps that. The Saints signed Jimmy Graham.
Not to a fun retirement deal, legitimately
a 1-year deal.
wasted money on a 39-year-old or however old he is, Jimmy Graham, because he's quote unquote in the best shape of his life.
I thought the same thing. I thought it was a 1-day deal. No, maybe
that's what I was. Like, he hasn't played in like 3 years.
I saw it and I'm like, cool. He's retiring a Saint. Nope. Yeah,
as he should.
Actual contract.
Yeah.
Well, maybe this time next year he'll retire a Saint.
And you want to know? If you want a really small idea or small reason why the Saints organization isn't that well run, they wasted money on a 39-year-old.
He has not played since 2021 when he was with the Bears.
Like, how are you going to help that? And the NFC South is like just legitimately competitive in a really bad way, but still, like, they should be the best team in this division on paper. Nope, we're going to go out and sign Jimmy Graham to a 1-year deal.
Maybe
like locker room veteran presence.
Something. I have no idea. A couple of quick hits. Kendre Miller, back from the PUP. He started camp there, so he'll be on the field. Alvin Kamara should have a hearing with Goodell this time next week, if not later this week. We should know how long he's going to be suspended for. Rashad Bateman on the PUP to start the year. Kadarius Toney is already hurt. He had a knee injury and a cleanup procedure, so something to monitor there.
Shocking.
We'll get more Bills later. Bills running back Nyheim Hines. More Chiefs later. Sorry, Bills fans. Bills running back Nyheim Hines will miss the season after suffering a major knee injury in a jet ski accident. So start your James Cooks.
Will Cooks be cooking?
Yeah. No camp restrictions for Jimmy Garoppolo, and Denzel Mims was traded to the Lions, keeping up with old favorites.
Hooray. Actually, I was at Lions training camp yesterday. That was pretty interesting, pretty fun.
Nice. Yeah. All right, let's hit a beer review, and then we got some shorter segment of hype and rumors to get through.
Beer review.
All right. Ryan, go ahead and start us.
All right. So I had Happy Dad, which is a hard seltzer, fruit punch, gluten-free with electrolytes. So it's kind of healthy for you in a way. And also, it's not that tall can anymore. Like, like your Truly's and that. It's the short can. Meant to be a beer. And what's nice about it is actually, I don't know how many seltzer you guys ever drink, but like how like carbonated they are. Like you can't chug them, Well, this one kind of has like a little bit of carbonation, not too much, but it has like a lot of flavor to it. So it actually pulls out the flavor more and not that much carbonation where you're always kind of like anytime I drink it, I'm always burping. No matter like if I take 2 sips, 3 sips, chug it, it's a burp. This one I haven't burped once. So Definitely highly recommend it.
Is Happy Dad, is it a vodka seltzer?
I don't think so.
I don't remember if that one is.
Anyway.
That's a good question.
I'll look it up if you want to do your beer review.
It's a beer.
Okay.
I'm sure they may have
not that
potentially
I've
vodka down the line, but I think it is just not in that shitty skinny can. That's though. I mean, hold on. Fucking hated seeing them when they pop up, but they've done some pretty stellar marketing. The Death Row,
that one's really good too.
The Death Row one. Oh my god! That's all right. It's marketed strictly towards dads.
So, gotta tell you that when I said I'll look it up, Dan, go ahead, and you just said it's a beer. I thought that's how you were doing your beer review.
Oh,
but you're just like it's a beer.
Yeah, we're going back to year one, baby. It's good.
Is it?
It's fine. Is it all right? So I'm drinking Mother's Brewing out of out of Springfield, Missouri. This one is Lake Break. This is their easy drinking ale, which is a golden ale. For some reason, I thought it was a light hoppy ale, so that's where my concerns were. Obviously, I was wrong, so it changes my perspective of it. You get the nice golden color to it, slightly unfiltered, to get you the hazy color to it. Again, it's 4.6%. It does exactly what it's aimed to do. Light, easy drinking, not very filling, doesn't, you know, it's not overly carbonated to kind of help, you know, that could get you to the bloatedness. It's not overly malty. It's just a very simple drinking beer that you would have as you're mowing your lawn or if you're out on the lake or out on a boat. It's not really my favorite style, because it's just kind of a beer, but it's
a beer
for what it's supposed to do. It's not bad.
Complain about Happy Dad when I pulled up their website, like the first thing you see is store and there's nowhere to go to see like what flavors they offer or anything like that. It's like, ah, got it. You really are just here for the advertising, not
and their packaging,
the quality
still,
of anything. Yeah.
Their package is just such dog shit. It looks so bad. But they sell because it's marketed
so
towards dad.
Mm-hmm. All right. July 4th Oktoberfest with a new recipe. So hops are still very, very much here, but they are not at the forefront anymore. They are offer nice support, good supporting bitterness, good noble hop character, but it's in the background. What really shines in this is actually the toasted malt, which is good. That's what I want to shine in my Oktoberfest, right? Especially my Märzens, not best beers. It's toasted, it's rich, it's got a nice little underlay of caramel to it. This is definitely one of the better ones I've had. Whatever they change, they absolutely nailed it on this one. So good job to them. It's light, it's crushable, it's clear, and it's extremely well done. So definitely highly, highly recommended for Oktoberfest season. It's been a while since I've been enthused by something Schlafly did. So good for them.
Good for them. Good job.
All right. Back to camp. So this is the part where I was going to talk about Dalvin Cook to the Jets being essentially a done deal aside from dollars. He's watched practice, taking a physical. Sides apparently have high mutual interest. And then I found another Dalvin Cook entry later on that actually has details from his accuser in the abuse case in Dakota County, which I forgot was a thing.
Yep.
He apparently offered $1 million to clear him of any wrongdoing to the victim of this. And I'm going to read the excerpt here based on what the court filing, the affidavit says. It comes with a trigger warning. So if you are triggered by domestic violence or descriptions of such, fast forward about 30 seconds. Craig's latest filing, Craig being the attorney for the victim, I think, or is the victim. I don't remember. I don't know which. Also describes Trimble. Okay, so Craig is the attorney. Trimble is the victim. Craig's latest filing also describes Trimble's sworn allegations against Cook, saying that after he threw her over a couch and into a coffee table, her forehead and nose gushed blood. When she went upstairs to wash off the blood, Cook followed her, threw her down, pinned her, punched and choked her, and then grabbed his rifle and pointed it at her head and yelled death threats, the filing said. Cook reportedly had knowledge of his lawyers offering the victim $800,000 in exchange for a sworn affidavit exonerating him or of any wrongdoing. He then increased his offer to $1 million after the initial offer was declined. Jesus. Lawsuit for physical and emotional abuse was filed against Cook in November of 2021 and is still pending at this time. He remains a free agent. Scheduled for trial in Dakota County Court next year. And now all of a sudden, I don't care about Dalvin Cook.
No. And like the not sad really. Part is, like, when this came out, I mean, a lot of it was painted on. It was kind of both parties were, I think, you know, getting blame. And then it just kind of went away.
Yeah, and it disappeared. I forgot about it entirely.
It feels like right now it's still kind of being thrown away, except you get little small notes like that, and then notes that are the NFL is still potentially deciding on what his punishment could be. We still don't know. And while he signs with the Jets, fine. Like, it hasn't happened yet. I'll wait until it happens to actually give thoughts. Because I feel like he's been linked to like fucking every AFC East team.
Yeah, that level of detail.
Yeah, yeah.
Really, like, I don't care what she did to you, dude, unless she was holding a gun to your head.
It ain't good. And no. I hope he gets what's coming to him if it all finds out to be true.
So we're going to move on from that. Kyler Murray, no tied table for a return, and the current thought is Clayton Tune's mobility may fit the system better than Colt McCoy's.
Yes.
I am fully on board with Clayton Tune's season for a trial run while this is this year's Bailey Zappi.
I mean, this is basically Garoppolo when he got his come-out party with the Patriots. It was when he was suspended for Deflate, I think it was Deflategate. This is going to give Tune his chance to shine. And I like, we know who Colt McCoy is. Why the fuck would he even, like, he shouldn't start to begin with?
No, like, let Clayton Tune cook. Yeah. Let him cook.
Let Clayton Tune jam, man.
Right.
Let the man spin some records.
And I'm all for handcuffing Murray with him to start the season. Do it. He's mobile.
Let him jam. So, you know, Tune.
I get it.
You gotta let him jam.
Jam to those tunes.
Ryan's like, nope, that's it. I'm not giving Dan nothing.
That is a horrible dad joke.
I mean, that's why I'm a stepdad. So, I mean, I don't get to be as cool with the fall on dad jokes.
Moving on. Chiefs wide receiver Rashi Rice is leading all receivers in first team reps for Kansas City. This is with Kadarius Toney out.
And yet all I've seen is how Sky Moore has been Mahomes' favorite target.
I don't know, man.
Somebody at some point, someone's gonna have to do something.
Yeah.
Like they might can't as well keep trying to trot out 30, mid-30-year-old Travis Kelce who's throwing punches in practice.
Right.
Over nothing. It's what one of these guys got to step up. One of them has to.
Yeah, there's going to be some receiver that steps up. We know what MVS is. Sky Moore for a second year breakout, or Rashi Rice, who kind of fits the Juju role decently. So
yeah.
I like Rashi Rice. I'm interested to see if that hype continues.
I like who's ever cheaper in redraft. But I do want to have some.
It's probably some of both right now.
I would assume they're both double digits. I would assume it doesn't, like, just take a shot on one of them and watch this the other.
Yeah, yep. Rashi Rice is gonna be the cheapest.
It's almost like I can look. I do think they're both.
Sky Moore's moving up. Kadarius Toney's going down.
Not Scott.
I feel like Tony too, whenever he gets back, depending on where the ADP is.
Sky Moore is a 10th round and a 10th round, so double digit round. Oh. And Rice is not even on the board.
Good.
Which makes sense.
Keep it that way. Give him to me my last round.
Yep.
J.K. Dobbins on the pup list, but without an injury?
He's sitting out. Melvin Gordon confirmed today that he's sitting out.
Yeah, it looks like he's holding in.
A fart?
No, that's what they call it when they're there. Oh, he's holding. Refusing to participate.
Okay.
We
didn't even talk about Melvin Gordon going to Baltimore because it happened.
They're holding him from being out on the field.
No, we didn't talk about Melvin Gordon going to Baltimore because I don't care.
I can't wait for him to be a veteran cut, which is what I'm fully expecting to happen, and seeing people like, you think this is a big deal for Dobbins? I'm like, no.
No, not at all.
Melvin Gordon's over the hill, bro. He's not even efficient. He never was efficient. No.
I'm no, he wasn't. Melvin Gordon. He just had a lot of volume.
Yeah.
Antonio Gibson has stated that he expects to play a third down back role in his new offense.
I just want him to get all the work.
Yeah, seriously.
I do too, but if he's catching passes, that's what I want most.
Even better. All right, let's see here.
Just keep giving the second and third down. Then that way you're guaranteed some runs.
I said that he would likely be on the field at the end of both quarters too, so it sounds like this is a third down back and a 2-minute drill back. Basically.
Absolutely. And he's got the size.
Yeah.
So Gibson, 7th round pick, 704. Oh. Brian Robinson, 807. Gibson out of the RB dead zone. A perfect fit for a lot of builds.
Mm-hmm.
And I would much rather wait on him than take Javonte Williams.
I'm with you.
Yeah.
How is Tyler Allgeier still an 8th round pick? Sorry, that's just...
Are you still looking at FF calculator?
Yeah. Not anyways.
Rashad Penny has been getting the first team reps in training camp with DeAndre Swift. While DeAndre Swift has been getting a ton of receiving work. Anybody surprised by this? This is exactly how we expected this would probably play out.
Yeah. Yep. Not shocked.
Sam LaPorta is expected to have a role right away in the Lions offense, which high draft pick, he should.
I was noticing him as like the number two target. After Amon-Ra St. Brown, it was him.
Amon-Ra is about to have. Amon-Ra put some money down on him leading the league in targets and catches. That dude, like, nobody there is going to take targets away from that dude. Williams suspended and has been bad in practice. I don't know if that's actually true outside the fact that I saw that he had 3 drops today, apparently.
Yeah, well, then he also had a nice toe dragger later in the day, so.
No, don't matter. He ain't playing.
I look at it just the same way as we looked at Jamar Chase when he couldn't catch a ball because he didn't see that there was no lines on the football. And that's when everyone started dropping him. You know, so I
come on, man. Right. Jamar Chase, a generational wide receiver prospect.
You're worried about lines on a football.
That was also his rookie season. This is near to Jamal Williams.
And this is the second half of his.
You said Jamal.
Jameson Williams. Yeah, see how much I care? I can't even get the name right.
Don't bet on it.
Nope. Yeah. Don't talk smack about JMO.
Isaiah Pacheco is expected to start for the Chiefs and seeing an increased workload this year. So Clyde's just going to be completely phased out, I guess, or are they going to try to let him compete with McKinnon for receiving work?
Good question.
Same roles as last year is what I'm expecting.
Yeah,
same roles as last year, but like it's going to be still that high hand approach. Who's ever hot is going to be the one's going to be on the field the most. I prefer to get McKinnon late in every draft I can if I'm going to draft any of them.
Yeah. Trick will be interesting to see how high he's going, I think. Or low.
I think he's going. What, 6th, 7th, 8th round, somewhere in that range?
There's a point where he'd be a value.
You'd think.
And last note, Bill Belichick is allegedly on the hot seat during the season. It has actually been on the hot seat to varying degrees since 2019 when there were reports that he and Tom Brady butted heads, resulting in Brady leaving town.
I mean, I think he's been pretty trash since Brady's left, so I'm not going to lie.
And mismanagement. He's had a longer rope than anybody else would have.
I mean, granted, he's earned that, but
yeah, shit.
I think it's time to
let him go.
I think it's time to fully embrace the post Belichick and Brady era completely.
Yep,
I agree. I agree completely. All right, that's a show. Anything else, you guys?
It was a beautiful show.
Beautiful show. Thank you guys for tuning in. We will be back at some point next week. Yet to be determined. We'll talk about that. See ya.
Word. Peace.
Yeah.
Beer fuel. Beer fuel.